It's time for To The Last Drop podcast with Liam Del Calm and Brendan Nell.
This is To The Last Drop. I'm Liam Del Calm.
And I'm Brendan Nell.
Welcome to our show. For those of you who are regular listeners, and I hope there are a few of you, welcome back. And to those of you who are new, we sincerely hope that you stick around. Brendan, this week, or this weekend, we go into the business end of the Challenge Cup as well as the Champions Cup. Not huge South African involvement, but the Sharks are still alive in the Challenge Cup. And a very, very interesting matchup they have.
Yeah, it's not often we see South African teams in this business end of the competition, but the Sharks certainly have a chance to win it. They're in the last four. I suppose counting against them is the fact that they win this one. They're playing at the Stoop in London near Twickenham, and while that shouldn't count against them because they'll have a lot of South African support around there. If they win there, they've got to play at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the final as well. So they're not going to be playing at home for this. So they're going to have to play a lot better than they did against the Scarlets last week. Although there were some good parts on that. And Clermont away from home are probably not the same monster that they are at home.
We should probably also remind listeners why the Sharks don't have actual home ground advantage. But you're right about Clermont playing at home. I remember when Vern Cotter was still their coach a while back, they became a side that was absolutely impossible to beat at home. I think they had something like 85 or 86 consecutive home wins, but they are more vulnerable on the road.
Yeah, and look, it's not a big stadium. I mean, I can't think that it's more
15,000 or something like that. Yeah,
15,000 seaters. So I mean, I think in terms of that, there probably will be quite a bit of traveling support, but not as much as if they would have to play in France. And certainly, we expect quite a bit of expats out there to support them as well. I think they've got a decent chance there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the split in support. I think the Sharks have a fair chance of actually getting more supporters than them.
Yeah, I think they probably do, and that's probably what they're banking on there. I'm not sure how many thousands of South Africans are in London, but if they can get into that stadium, I'd say go and support them as well. And hopefully the Sharks. Yeah. It depends what Sharks team you get, but with all their Bok experience, hopefully that shines through.
Yeah, I mean, they've actually built up a nice head of steam after sort of a very troubled time initially in the URC, so they've got a bit of momentum. I mean, but that's still a hell of a Clermont side. I mean, they've got some proper international experience as well. There are some game breakers and some real gain line bashers. Was it Pesiali Yatu and Gus Suokola? They are just absolute monsters when it comes to eating the gain line. And of course, in terms of experience, Marcus Kremer, Thomas Lavanini, Batista Delgui on the wing, George Moala, the former Blues center, he's also in Clermont colors. So there's quite a bit of experience.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough ask for the Sharks, but they don't have. It's not like they don't have experience in their side with that pack with Itzebeth and Ox and Bongi and those guys coming through. There is a fairy tale ending to be written, and considering the season they've had, putting all their eggs into this basket at the moment is not a bad thing at all.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that'll be quite a jump if you now play your semi final at the Stoop in terms of what. It's at 15,000 people. And then there's the carrot of playing in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is probably the most modern stadium around these days. That's something to look forward to.
Well, let's hope. And I mean, it's just a pity in a way that they don't get so many gate takings, because that's been a bone of contention, especially up north with the other some of the other games are there in Ireland, with Croke Park being filled for 82,000 people, that the EPCR gets all the revenue, the clubs don't share it, and that gets split evenly around the three leagues that participate in the European Cup. So the money will filter down, but a lot less than if you were hosting it technically at your home ground, where you'd at least take 50% of the gate taking. So that's quite a contentious point, but well, those then are the rules, as they say. So yeah. But just on that, let's have a listen to some of the players themselves. The Sharks, put up Werner Kock and Lucanio Arm, two of their most experienced guys. And Werner Kock, also shame. I must mention, he did tell me the other day when I saw him that horrible story about his jerseys being stolen there in Stellenbosch.
Yeah, I remember.
He told me they never were found. So if anybody does spot a Werner Kock Sevens jersey on the market somewhere, know that it is stolen. And yeah, please make contact with either us or them or et cetera.
Name and shame as well while you're at it.
Yeah, he's still looking for them. So yeah, help the guy out if you do see something like that. So have a listen to what Werner and the Kanye say about the game.
Yeah, I think in games like this, trying to get the best prep that you can. I think we've done a great deal for ourselves, putting ourselves in this position. And I think once you're in the change room, it's just having the confidence of the prep that you've done in the week. So I think the hard yards are being done right now, preparing for, Saturday for 12:30. So I think whenever, we're ready to go out there, we shouldn't have any doubts. We should go there with a lot of confidence. I think we've got a lot of characters in the team. I'm personally a guy that's, not too much hyped up, before games. But there are certain games that bring something different. I think this one, it's a big one for us. I think everyone will be very hyped and excited. Playing semis, I guess the quality side. It will be really good. And we're really looking, forward to it, really excited. So to answer you. It depends in certain games, it also depends on the different guys and how's the mood and the vibe in the camp. But I'm more on the calmer side than the hype side.
I think this one is definitely up there. I think the biggest one in the 50-minute game was a Currie Cup game, but this is massive. I love playoff games. It's a very important one, not just for me. I think for every single player in the team, it's a massive one. And then for the Sharks in general, for KZN, I think it's a good one to actually set it up for the final if we come through this one. But I'm sure we will. For me, very important. I think. There's a lot to be done still here. I can't worry about my next stint at Ulster. There's a lot to work towards. The Sharks is busy with something very big at the moment, and that's probably going to be one of the biggest regrets because they're playing we are actually playing some good rugby, and there's a lot of change in the camp. And the culture is also going towards to a place where it will be a phenomenal team and a championship team. But for now, it's all about the Sharks. Don't worry about anywhere else. And so it's the semi-finals and then hopefully finals.
Yeah, I suppose we should touch briefly on some of the other games as well that we had the last weekend. But just from a different point of view, the Bulls did what we expected them to do against the Ospreys. I think it was a big ask after their win against the Stormers for the Ospreys to come up to Loftus with the Bulls still smarting from the Munster defeat and to try and win there. Especially, I did realize that afterwards the Bulls' records against Welsh teams are 1-11, lost one, and the one they lost was that horrible game against the Dragons or the Scarlets last year. Scarlets, sorry, where Johan Huysen missed touch about six times in the game. But they tend to some of their biggest victories in the URC are against Welsh teams, and it's the second time this season they put up 60 points against a Welsh team. But to me the aspect is not what we expected. But I had a chat and I asked Toby Booth, their coach, who's a fine fella, by the way. If you ever get
yeah, he looks like an interesting guy.
apparently, last week in Cape Town, when they lost this, when they beat the Stormers, somebody asked him, "What's it like touring?" And he said, "Well, it's great because it gets me away from my wife for a couple of weeks." So he's that type of guy to have a good laugh. And I asked him just about some of the perils of coming to a place like Loftus and how difficult it is for foreign teams. So have a listen.
Yeah, we had a plan. Pretty much stuck to it.
I thought we stuck to it pretty well.
There's a few moments where we strayed off our plan, got a bit loose. A discipline at times could have been better. But I was really pleased with our power game around scrum and around maul, obviously, to score. A big effort from the lads, 2 weeks at altitude, to come away with 10 points. Not many people have done that. In fact, I'm not sure anybody has from where we come from. So, delighted. We've got some tremendous leaders. I mean, one of them next to me, Peter, obviously. We've got some warriors have been in some big moments. And we spoke a lot about moving on from frustrations, moving on from mistakes to that next job. And then we've spoken a lot about getting our power game going, getting our maul going. You know, it's something that we drill a lot. I've been a bit frustrated with our lack of maul tries, haven't we, to be honest. So, no, as I say, that was one of the real special things from that win for me. It was our power game, both sides of the ball against a very good, big South African team. We spoke this time last year a lot about momentum. We'll take it game by game. Each game, we'll focus on that, focus on the next game. But this does give us a lot of belief and momentum. We'll get some guys back from injury. We've got a week off now when we prepare for Connacht the week after at home. Game by game. We developed a game. I'm not going to tell you where. Minute elements of our game. But our fundamentals have always been there. You know, we're a possession team. We're a bit disappointed we didn't get more score zone opportunities within the game. But again, when we were frustrated, I thought our composure was excellent. So I think that's what last year taught us, was just our composure in the fire, in the big moments, particularly away from home.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, you've got coaches who, there's still a few of them left, who were quite happy to shape their opinions, and they don't sort of tiptoe around issues and give you the party line all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's also, I mean, yeah, we always talk about the overseas players coming here to South Africa and seeing them play. But for us journalists, I feel it's a wasted opportunity if you don't take the chance to
actually
get to the overseas coaches, because there's often you pick up something else or a different trend or something that makes you think a bit differently about the game.
Yeah, and in fact, on that score, Munster had a very good win over the Lions at Ellis Park. They showed all their champion qualities in that game. I mean, they played to the template that we've become used to. They stick to what they do well. They put teams under pressure. They make sure they get stuck into, like, make battles, basically get battlegrounds all across the field, and they tend to win them. And they make it very uncomfortable for the opponents, and the Lions simply went up to it. And after the match, we spoke to Graham Rantree and asked him about not just the champion qualities in that side, but things like they've won it last year. What have they done? Champion teams need to renew, and they need to find different ways to stay ahead of the pack. You know, what have they done to improve themselves? And Rantree was he did tiptoe a little bit about on what exactly they've done, but he was generally quite forthright. So have a listen.
Toby, you guys, you've guys been one of the more successful teams traveling to South Africa. Stat?
Well, against South African teams, really.
Are teams from the north starting to work it out more? Or do you think, what are the challenges that you find still a tough year for you guys?
I think both ways, really. I think when South African teams are going north and vice versa, I think there's a lot to be, a lot to be said for those experiences. I mean, if I'm Razzie, I've got the best of both worlds, right? I've got a team that plays championship down there and a domestic competition that plays up there. I can learn quite a lot about how to win, you know, against different oppositions and styles and bits and pieces. And also, the longer you're in it, your players are more aware, so they can adapt and shift. I think it's making better rugby players, that's for sure, more rounded rugby players that have to understand what's happening around them and how they can have to switch. We've won the beauty of this competition is that you have to switch very, very quickly. And that means you've got to make sure you coach them differently, and they've got to be adaptable and, you know, not robots. They've got to be, they've got to, you know, make sure that they understand what they are, but what little nuances make a big difference. So I think there's probably some truth in what you say. I think that people are, depends on what side you bring as well. We're always going to bring our strongest side of it because we want to test ourselves against the best.
The in especially early in that second half, it seemed almost, but part of the difference was just the intensity of the World Cup winning players on the Bulls side, Vili, Kirti Aronsakan and Moody, just when they just got into form.
Again, quality is quality as well, right? So, again, if you're not doing what you want to do and you give other people of that quality what they want to do, then the chances are they look good, right? That's the reason that they are what they are. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely... I think there was... You know, I thought that the power game was definitely evident from the Bulls. I thought they were the powerful side. We're always going to be tough and brave, we know that. And we have to work extremely hard for the moments that we created, and then you get intercepted twice when you think, okay, we could get something out of this, and the score blows out. And but you know, I said to the team, "How about the score? We're chasing four tries here, whatever happens." And that's what we do at the Ospreys, you know. And the game had gone for us, but as you saw, even with the last bit, you know, we gave it a great game. In accuracy, we, you know, we don't give ourselves the final shot, so it almost encapsulates itself in that play.
Where does this leave you for your playoff hopes?
Well, we just talked about it. You know, we go. It's not going to get any easier if you think about our last five, or the last five games of our season. Go Stormers away, Bulls away, Leinster away. So I don't think anyone in the world's going to, you know, prescribe that as the easiest. But and then obviously we have two Welsh derbies, which are very emotive. But we know we've got an idea in mind about, if you look historically at the table, about what you need to be into that top eight, and that would be progress. And then you see where it takes us, like we did in Europe. You know, we won a knockout game first time ever. So I think there's an expectation or a realism about, you know, where we are and what we're doing. I'm delighted. I'm never going to sit here and criticise the effort of our group. I think they're great. I love this group. I really do. And they're an unbelievably tight group. But we've got to learn to be accurate and have the qualities when it matters. And that's part of the learning curve.
Well, then, I didn't expect him to give away all his secrets anyway, but he certainly is a coach with a pedigree, and he's one of those no-nonsense guys that, you know, you certainly, when you ask him a press conference question, you're going to get a press conference, a decent answer, and he's a guy who's he's not going to shy away from the tough ones either. So he's a good man, and it's good to see Munster doing well, but I think for me the disappointment bigger than that, and we've spoken about this offline, that we must get Altman Ahlers, the Lions chairman and owner, on the show, because I think the thing that frustrates me the most is just the inconsistency of the Lions. And I don't know, we've spoken about it before. We don't know what more to say about it, but Saturday was a prime example.
And the coach, Ivan van Rooyen, was asked about the, you know, inconsistency, and he kind of defended overall performance in that game, the effort they put in. But the problem is, and often when they do suffer a defeat, it's a lack of composure. They don't know what to do in the moment, in the key moments. So they'll have a lot of ball. They show a lot of intent. They attack, but then they are handling errors. They are like basically silly errors creep into their game at the wrong time. And it often goes back to composure, and they just don't have a sense of sort of grabbing the big moment. So, you know, that is something that I don't know how difficult it is to coach that out of a team, whether that just comes with experience. But you just got the impression that Munster know how to win rugby matches and the Lions don't.
Yeah. And I think we'll cover that a bit when we get somebody like Altman on Anya. I think we'll cover that a bit more in deep detail as well. Let's, before we move on to other rugby, let's finalize the European competitions, or the EPCR competition, should we say. Let's have a quick look at, obviously, the big two games this weekend on Saturday at Croke Park. Sold out, 82,700. That's a hell of a crowd.
700.
Yeah. At Croke Park, Northampton, who lost against Harlequins last week, which was interesting. And that was a very nice game to watch. Yeah, playing against Leinster, the mighty Leinster. And you sort of wonder, Northampton have got the game to surprise a team like Leinster, but Leinster's efficiency should carry them through.
That's what you'd expect. I mean, the two big dogs are still left in the competition. And when I say by big dogs, it's the two teams that have had the most success in the Champions Cup, Toulouse and Leinster. So you'd expect Leinster to come. Sorry?
Nine stars between them.
Yes, indeed. You'd expect Leinster to come through that game. But Northampton's had a good season, and they are a very combative side. I mean, they... a bit like Munster, they create battles and they take people to uncomfortable places. It's a tall order, though, to go to Dublin and get a result there. So I think it might be tight for a while, but I still see Leinster coming through.
I see just an interesting sort of sidebar. They might face a very angry crowd because I see Croke Park's regulations say that no alcohol will be served in the stadium. Can you imagine the Irishman without a Guinness at such a big game?
Oh, dear. Yeah, you see, I don't know if they thought this through because, you don't want to upset the faithful like that. I mean, but yeah, that's a big decision.
So if you see the crowds a bit boorish, then, it might not just be the rugby. So moving across.
Well, I suppose, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they decide where they play this game. Was it the EPCR?
Well, they had to play Dublin away from... Yeah. From Aviva, and that was the problem. So I'm not quite sure what the rule is, but I did see a very alarming news article about that this week.
And then the other game, as you said at some point, contrasting styles that we could maybe expect here. You've got Toulouse, who's got the power game, and then they turn it on when they really need to against the Harlequins, a team that is very fleet-footed. They find ways around you, over you, and creates a little bit of chaos, and that I think that's what they would try to do against a team like Toulouse, who just unrelenting when they come with those big forwards and they bring this power game, and eventually they sort of grind you down. So it will be an interesting game tactically.
Well, it's definitely that way against Exeter when they play them. Exeter had them for 40 odd minutes, but early in the second half, when Toulouse just turned on that power, Exeter fell apart. And I think there was something like four tries in like 10 minutes or something. And they just didn't have an answer for that. What surprised me about Harlequins against Bordeaux when they won there was that they kept on coming back at Bordeaux and it was through their maul and through their scrum that they sort of got the upper hand. So that's going to be interesting to see if they can sustain that again.
It was a wonderful example of a team when they had opportunity, they took just about everything. I mean, they didn't have all the ball. In fact, I think Bordeaux had the bulk of the possession. But wonderfully game managed by Harlequins. I mean, when they had a sniff, they seized on every opportunity. And I just got the sense there in that game as well that Bordeaux were probably a little complacent. I think there were times in that game where they thought, okay, they've got the measure of position, but Harlequins, good on them. I mean, they just kept coming back.
Yeah. One of my favorite players there, Tyron Green, who's there, also creating chaos for me at the back there. But the interesting part of that game where Harlequins looked very dangerous was Andre Esteson going to fly off, which we don't see very often. And, with some of the changes coming to the Springbok team, it might be an option for them later in the year.
Yeah. It's one way of getting him and Damien to play in the same team.
Well, yeah, no, Mr. McKee, imagine trying to...
Well, yeah, we probably won't stop, but yeah.
But yeah, those are the two there. I think we're probably going to go for Toulouse to win that one, although Harlequins will be brave. Will it be enough? I'm not sure, but they'll be brave at least. And that stadium is also something very imposing for any team. As we've seen, Sharks and the Bulls played there last year.
So. Yeah. They've got two options. They've also got the Municipal Stadium, which is a lot bigger. They've got Ernest Wallon and they've got the Municipal Stadium. So they've got those two options. But either way, playing away against Toulouse is just a very daunting prospect, given the size of those forwards and then given the strike runners they've got at the back. It's, tall order.
So by the time you're listening to this podcast, the kickoff would have happened in the under 20 Sanzar inaugural rugby championship. I caught up last week, as you heard in last week's pod, we spoke to Bafana Ntleku, the coach, and they would have played New Zealand by the time this pod is out. But one of the players who's really sort of stands almost head and shoulders out in that team is 19-year-old Jaya van Heerden, who's had a wonderful season with the Bulls. Yeah, 19 years old, playing Champions Cup rugby, and doing exceptionally well as well. So, he's as he said to me, he's a farm boy from outside Kimberley, and he wants to see a kangaroo. Well, I had a little chat to him just before they left for Australia, and they have a listen to his chat.
It's obviously been a wonderful season for you so far. You've come from nowhere. You've now played three consecutive games for the Bulls. Just how does it feel? It must be wonderful just to go through this.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good experience. Didn't think I would be here, let's say a year ago. But yeah, I'm very privileged. I enjoyed a lot. It's a good experience for me as a player growing and coming into that system as well.
Take me through when Jake told you Ron Nokia was injured and you're going to go on with 15 minutes to go. So what went through your mind? You had an amazing game that day.
Yeah, no, I mean, in the week, Ron had a little bit of a niggle in his hammy. So I almost just in my mind had that, like in the back of my head, maybe not, but still wasn't expecting it. But, yeah, I mean, if something like an opportunity like that comes of your way, I mean, it's an opportunity that you can't seize that. So I think excitement was definitely. Most of all, I was excited, yeah.
It's not often that a 19-year-old comes straight into a Champions Cup, never mind the URC as such. I mean, did you get that sense when you got to the Bulls that you might get that chance? Or was that anything to do with, you know, Vessel or your performances at other places?
I mean, I've been in the senior setup training with him since after junior box last year. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's just training hard, and luckily the coaches, you know, gave me my chance. But yeah, it was just in the system, you know, how the ball falls, injuries and stuff like that happens, with Reinhard Ludwig moving to flank as well. So that 5 jersey went open the second that Ron couldn't be there. So.
And you've seen Cameron and Reinhard both get the opportunity. So it must be nice to be in an environment where if you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yeah, no, I mean that's very nice. You don't see that everywhere. I also think it's important, and say for the union as well. But yeah, definitely it's nice to have other young guys with you as well. It helps to feel like you're not alone if you know what I mean.
Tell me a bit about your background. You had great college, etc. We grew up, your heroes growing up, Bach heroes, things like that.
We grew up there in around Kimberley. My dad, they farm. So been on the farm my whole life. Then went to primary school in Kimberley, got the opportunity to go to Grey. Went there, boarding school, and then got the first contract at the Bulls. And yeah, they have been growing since after school. And then Bach heroes, I would say PSP is definitely up there. Victor Matfield. So yeah, those are my two biggest guys.
Sounds like you were a Bull from when you were young anyway.
Yeah, no, I was always a Bull. Saw a picture the other day of a concert in primary school of me with the Bull horn hat and everything on. So that was nice to see him. But so yeah, no, Bull from very small age. Yeah.
So you're now from a farm in Kimberley, you know, all the way to the Champions Cup. Now you're going off to Australia. Just your expectations, and how much has that prepared you for what you're going to experience with the junior box?
Yeah, no, I mean, two different systems, obviously. So still finding my feet a little bit here at the junior box. I've only been here for 2-3 days now. But yeah, very excited. And I think, yeah, the experience with the the Champions Cup and stuff is definitely going to help me. I think decision making and stuff like that, I have a whole other way of thinking about things line out wise. And so yeah, definitely going to help. But I mean, the goal is still, I'm with the junior box. URC and Champions Cup doesn't have anything to do with that now. So I think the focus now is junior box and doing the best we can over there.
You've been to the Sunshine Coast or Australia before?
No, it will be my first time. So yeah, my dad told me about it. He says it's a nice place. So I'm excited about that. Yeah.
Anything in particular you're looking forward
to? I want to see a kangaroo. So hopefully I can do that. But yeah, the main thing.
You don't get kangaroos in Kimberley, do you?
No, spurngas maybe.
So. And speaking of kangaroos, Liam, the other interesting thing, which we'll come back to a bit later this year, is another All Black coach for the Wallabies. That's no new news. Joe Schmidt's been appointed a while back. But he held his first press conference in Sydney. And, he's got a tough task after the demolition job that Eddie Jones did on Australian rugby, to resurrect them as well. And why it's interesting watching, I mean, Joe Schmidt, when he was Irish coach, was probably one of the more astute coaches and probably was sort of built Irish rugby up for Andy Farrell to take it further. And that's why they are where they are today. And he was part of the All Blacks team that went to the World Cup final.
I was about to say, they did. There's no doubt that he turned on some of the magic there as well.
And so him taking over the Wallabies, I'm not sure how big a job we'll only see as the season goes on. But with the Springboks playing two tests in Australia this year, it's going to be keen to watch. But have a listen to some of his comments.
Yeah, but, I grew up as a young kid watching Australia versus New Zealand. Bledisloe, it goes back a long way. I've watched disappointment, John Eales kick goals to win Bledisloe Cups and to be a even Berkey might have kicked a couple of goals as well. I just don't remember those ones. No, as selective as it was, to be on the other side of it, I've been involved in a few coaching recently where the result was quite tight and a couple of results that were very large. And for me, it's less about the Bledisloe Cup at the moment because I'm very keen to take one test match at a time. So we're just looking to get selection right as best we can, get into Wales, get those two tests out of the way and the Georgian test out of the way. And then we'll be better prepared to know what trajectory we're on and what we need to do to be as competitive as we can be at the back end of the rugby championship when the Bledisloe is low. Look, I think there's a lot of rivalry there, but there is the Anzac spirit, that genuine, it's not probably until you live overseas for a while that you actually realise just how often Australians and Kiwis, they team up. First time I went to London, we ended up with a touch game in the middle of London with the Aussies versus the Kiwis. But the touch game was just an excuse to socialise afterwards, really. And so, those bonds are pretty strong, and they've been forged over the last century plus. So, it's an awkward one for me. No different. Well, probably a little bit different, but similar to the first time I got involved with the All Blacks. It was against the Irish, and I'd spent 10 years coaching in Ireland, 6.5 years coaching the Irish team, and some of those guys who I'd coached for 10 years were in the opposition and were good friends after spending so much time with them. So I guess one of my real motivations for trying to help was when Peter Horn rang me, I do genuinely believe that we need to be as strong as we can in this corner of the world. And that's a corner we share with the All Blacks and New Zealand. Not a corner where we can live in isolation, I don't think. So one of the ways to help each other is to try to be as competitive as we can be against each other to drive the performance of both teams. And there's certainly been a lag on our side of the Tasman, and we're going to try to roll our sleeves up and close the leg as much as we can.
Yeah, and that is a conundrum that you face whenever you shift. And with the amount of transitions that occur in international rugby, but even in club rugby, you often end up, you know, a foe to your friends somewhere along the line. And I don't think I have a massive amount of IP, but I've got a lot of experiences after 20 plus years of professional coaching. And whatever the All Blacks, whatever I know about the All Blacks know lots about me as well. And so, you know, I think even the All Black coaching staff, some of them are good friends. Leon McDonald, Jason Holland. Jace was in Ireland when I was there with Munster. I worked with Leon, obviously, with the Blues. Worked with Jason Ryan with the All Blacks. So a lot of those guys, they know me inside out as much as I know some of what the All Blacks have been doing. But with a new head coach and a new coaching staff, there's obviously going to be shifts in what they do. And we're going to have to watch what they do through the England series and through the early games in the TRC to find out how best to try to combat whatever we think they're going to bring. Yeah, and it's probably fluctuated a little bit like the Bledisloes have in the last 2 years as well, where being competitive 1 week hasn't necessarily materialised into being competitive the next week. And I think driving that consistency of performance is massively important. You know, what happened to the Brumbies in Auckland and what the Brumbies then did last weekend is a fantastic example of, you know, the fluctuation in performance that occurs, and trying to build a consistency in that performance is going to be part of the challenge. I was at the Blues-Reds game in the weekend. Fantastic game for a neutral supporter, I think, because the excitement there was fantastic, and the way the lead changed hands and the game ebbed and flowed. But just being able to nail those big moments at the finish of those games as well, which has been a bit of a challenge for the Wallabies in recent years. And I don't necessarily have the answer, but I've had some experiences where teams haven't quite nailed those big moments and trying to build a mindset where you can stay process driven through those periods. I don't have, as I said, solutions or answers to that. I just have to try to best create a consistency. And I think the best way to do that is, first of all, to get selection right. And we're working really hard on that. And that's not just me, you know. Laurie's busy with the under-20s at the moment, and I'm looking forward to them getting out tomorrow and doing a good job. Mike Cron is looking very closely at particularly the pack and the tight forwards. Jeff is coaching against teams and he's got the Rebels there. So he's looking closely. And Owen Toolan's got a great eye for detail around performance. So that's what we're working on right now. And then once we get to know the people we have, I think we'll try to build the mindset where we can be consistent. And I know that's what Super Rugby coaches, and I've been, you know, really enjoying the interactions I've had with Super Rugby coaches.
Some very interesting comments from Joe Schmidt there, and it's certainly going to be a tough international season ahead. We're not quite there yet. We're going into the playoffs of all the major competitions. So we've still got a lot to go there. But that's our episode this week. Next week we'll have another bumper episode, and if you haven't already picked a side for your Champions Cup or Challenge Cup, well, hopefully we've given you some pointers, and we'll chat to you next week. Then have a good longish weekend, if it is already a longish weekend.
We'll try. I mean, we don't have that much live action back home, so we'll try and make the most of it.
I'm sure that smoke of yours will be fired up at some point this weekend.
Thanks for listening. And a reminder, you can find all the To The Last Drop podcasts on the Brendan Nell YouTube channel, iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, and iTunes, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.